And no, that's not how it works. God has called every single person to a task. And we're going to see that that task starts in this man called Zacchaeus. Now, I always called it Zacchaeus. But I looked it up, and I was always saying it wrong. So today I will try not to say Zacchaeus. I'll try to say Zacchaeus like it is supposed to be pronounced. We're going to have fun with this story. It's a simple story. It's probably been talked about more in children's classes.
Just tap it. It's muted.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Yeah. All right, so it's a simple story. Probably been talked about more in children's classes and maybe children's church and certainly in children's books. Then probably even adults. For me, I've never preached on this until today, so this is a new one for me. But there's some interesting, I think, insights that you'll get from today that I hope maybe you haven't seen before. And then we're going to have some fun with this thing, too, because I have some silly little comments here and there. And we're going to have a fun, interesting ending to today's message, and then I'm going to remember Lee Connor in closing in prayer, because I'm going to exit this platform later on.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So just think it's going to get worse the older I get. So, yeah. All right. Title to today is Zacchaeus Meets Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You will guide this message and that we'll learn the things that we're supposed to learn and be able to apply them to our life, which is what the purpose of Scripture is. Not just to hear interesting stories, but to apply it to our lives. But I also pray that You will make this fun as well. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's start with Luke 19, first verse. We'll read the second verse here in just a minute. But then Jesus entered, I'm reading from New King James Bible, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now I'm going to stop there and talk a little bit about Jericho. The first we hear of Jericho in the Bible is when Joshua conquered it in the Old Testament. And if you remember, Jenny Sheets preached a sermon about it last November 3rd. I looked it up to remember when it was. That was part of our Women in the Bible series, and I had her and Dana sharing the load on that series. That was fun. So if you didn't get a chance to see or watch that or hear that, it should be on our YouTube. Jenny actually handled the Jericho situation, which was with Rahab, prostitute, and she gets converted and basically from that whole event, but ends up helping God's people to conquer Jericho. Now, Jericho later on was rebuilt in the New Testament times by Herod, more than a mile south of the Old Testament location. Today's modern city of Jericho actually occupies that southern area as well as the original area of Jericho. And so Lee Williams has pulled it up for us on screen, and so he's actually put that in yellow brackets. Thank you, Lee. But I always, when I look at maps, I just tell you kind of how my mind goes, and almost always I have Lee do this to where I put everything in relationship to Jericho. Not Jericho, Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Bethlehem. So I know where those are, and I kind of think, where from that location are we talking about today? You can see it up there. That's the Jericho area. So not far from Jerusalem. Barclay's commentary is a really good commentary says this about Jericho, the Jericho of Jesus' day. Jericho was a very wealthy and very important town. It lay in the Jordan Valley and commanded both the approach to Jerusalem and the crossings of the river, which gave access to the lands east of the Jordan. Now, of course, east would be over more this direction here. So it gave, that was kind of the route that you took. It had a great palm forest and world-famous balsam fir groves, which perfume the air. I looked those up, and they look different than our fir trees that we think of today. The ones that they had in those areas had just a little bit different look, but apparently must have had that same smell of that fir type of tree. Its gardens of roses were known far and wide. Men called it the City of Palms. Josephus, who is a historian writer, later on called it a divine region, the fattest in Palestine. The Romans carried its dates and balsam to worldwide trade and fame. So that's a little bit about Jericho. Now let's get into the story a little more. Start with verse 2, our next verse. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So right off the bat, we're told three things here. We're told this man's name. We're told he was a chief, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Those three things right off the bat. Tax collectors in those days, we don't really like tax collectors even probably now, but in those days, they were really despised because they would charge a little too much and keep a little bit for themselves. And so they weren't the kind of person that probably really wanted to be around crowds of people. Do you kind of understand that? I mean, if you're despised, you don't want to hang around a crowd of people. Who knows what's going to happen to you? And then Tyndale Bible Dictionary says this about Zacchaeus, Jewish tax collector who collected taxes for the Romans at Jericho. He probably secured this position by purchasing the exclusive right to collect revenue in that region, or by working as a subcontractor for another affluent official. In either case, Zacchaeus himself accrued great wealth, largely by illegitimate means, from his customs enterprise. Jericho, a significant center of commerce, was situated along a major trade route connecting Jerusalem to the surrounding areas east of the Jordan. In his gospel, Luke records Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus, and that's what we're looking at today, seeking Jesus but unable to see him over the crowd because of his small stature. Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree to get a better view when Jesus passed by. To his astonishment, Jesus stopped under that tree and called him down, which we'll get to in a moment. Barclay's comment also says this about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was wealthy, but he was not happy. I think that's a really good point to make here. You know, the things of the world will not satisfy you. It's only Jesus, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Inevitably, he was lonely, for he had chosen a way that made him an outcast. He had probably heard of this Jesus who welcomed tax collectors and sinners, and he wondered if he would have any word for him. Despised and hated by men, Zacchaeus was reaching after the love of God. And then another comment that Barclay's commentary says, Zacchaeus determined to see Jesus and would let nothing stop him. For Zacchaeus to mingle with the crowd would have been a courageous thing to do. So he ran ahead, climbed a fig mulberry tree, is what Barclay calls it. Others call it a sycamore fig tree. A traveler describes the tree as being English oak, and its shade is most pleasing. And consequently, it was a favorite wayside tree. It's very easy to climb, and with its short trunk and its wide branches. Let's go on to verse 3. And he, speaking of Zacchaeus, sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of what? Short stature. Yeah, that's right. So Jesus' reputation had gone before him to the point that Zacchaeus wanted to know more about him. And our reputation needs to go before us so that people who are not saved want to get to know us better. And it goes beyond to what Jesus said in his final prayer before the cross, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And I was talking about that a little bit last Sunday in Sunday school, that and maybe you've never thought about this, but you know, your walk with God and your own personal growth should show to everybody. Everybody should be able to see that. And in a way, really, it brings glory into your life. It's not like you're seeking it, but that's what happens. People have to look up to someone in order to know that what they believe in is truly God. And so we're kind of that example. So when Jesus, in that final prayer before the cross, said, "Father, glorify me so that I can glorify you," that then you understand any glory that you get on earth is not really about you. It's about the opportunity for someone to come to salvation. That's what that's really about. So anyway, just kind of interesting thought there. All right, let's go to verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, a sycamore tree in America is a different tree than many of the sycamores in the New Testament days. I was doing some checking on that, but Bible background commentary says this about this sycamore tree. The kind of sycamore tree described here is related to the fig tree and was easy to climb. And so if that is true, that's going to be an interesting symbolism that I want to talk about here in just a moment. But if you got that picture, Lee, of a sycamore fig tree, I'm not, you know, there's different variations. You know, you can't say every oak tree looks like this. Every such and such tree looks like this. I mean, branches go different ways. And this was just one picture that I pulled up. But you could tell it's fairly low. I mean, to get up in there, you can certainly tell by that look. But sometimes those branches come way down. And anybody could probably climb up and go about as high as you wanted to go up into that tree. Thank you, Lee. The fig tree was the favorite. Barclay says this. The fig tree was the favorite of all trees, the picture of peace and prosperity. Now, aren't those interesting words with the songs that we sang about today? Which is common to every part of the Old Testament, is the picture of a time when every man will sit under his own vine and his own fig tree. And if you look up those verses, it actually kind of talks about that kind of thing. I just didn't want to spend the time going over each verse today. But the picture of the wrath of God is the picture of a day when he would smite and destroy the fig trees. So there's some symbolism in that tree. Now, the tree itself is a handsome tree. I don't know that I've ever called a tree handsome. You know, think of guys when you say the word handsome. Wow, that's a handsome tree. Never occurred to me to call it that. But it grows to a height of 15 to 20 feet and spreads these like thick branches out 25 to 30 feet. It was therefore much valued for shade. Very commonly, the fig tree grows overshadowing wells, so that in that area of a well is plenty of shade and water. Like a double refreshing going on there. So to me, when I looked at this passage and looked at the trees and that type of thing, I could see that this tree was well loved. It provided food. It provided shade. And many times if it was located near a well, it supplied the refreshment of fresh water for us and for that day. So you see the kind of the symbolism here, that Zacchaeus climbs that type of tree that provides those type of things, was everything that Jesus was going to offer that man. That's what that tree represented. And so I just think that's kind of true too. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but this particular tree was a Fig Newton tree. And I know it doesn't read that way in the Bible, but go with me. I mean, this is in the Mike Richardson commentary version, but it had like a light kind of a cakey breading on it. And even in the custom of that day, you had to dunk your Fig Newtons in milk. Yeah. I mean, that's the way you gotta eat them. So. And I am kidding. I told you we were going to have some fun with this story, but how many love Fig Newtons? Oh, man. I could eat Fig Newtons. Oh, I could eat those. And then I could try to justify it, saying, well, the fig's good for you. It's the Newton part that... Anyway, let's go on. I had to throw that in to keep you guessing today. All right. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, speaking of he saw Zacchaeus, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now I want you to notice two things. First, notice that Jesus called him by his first name. Have you ever even thought about that when you've read this story before? Or did you read it like I've read it in the past and go, yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. But did you think, how did he know his name? I mean, he'd never met Zacchaeus before. And so how would he know? And so Jesus knew him even before Zacchaeus knew Jesus. And Jesus knows you even before you know him. You know that? He knows you. He knows your situation. He knows if you're resisting a relationship with him or not, or whether you're going to finally get it. This is the life I really need to live. He knows all that. He knows everything. And so I just think it's fascinating that he calls him by name right off the bat. Second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus was reaching out to a tax collector who are known to be dishonest in their work. In other words, Jesus was reaching out to a sinner. Now let's apply that to us, because that's what we should do every time we read the word. Jesus reaches out to sinners because he cares. He has a better life for even them. And so it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived up to this point. He's still reaching out to you. It's good points. It's not that Jesus had never been around a tax collector, because if you look back through Luke, on some of the earlier chapters, like chapter 5, and I've included that in your notes today, Luke 5, he met many different tax collectors. So let's look at that. I got to read this to you. Luke 5, 27 to 32. After this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And look at what it says. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, I want to point out something to you, because it would be real easy not to realize this. This Levi we're talking about is just a different name. Quite often they would have like a Jewish name or a Hebrew name and then also a Greek name or whatever. But this is Matthew. This is Matthew the tax collector is who we're talking about in this story. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew. And so what did he say Levi did? And Levi got up and he what? He left what? Everything. Not some things. He left everything and followed him is what he chose to do. Verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. And you said that this morning, something about a hospital kind of setting. I don't remember if you told me that up here, we were talking in Sunday school, but it's not the healthy, and that's what we need to be thinking of, is people that have not made a decision to walk with God. And so then Jesus makes this comment in verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now let's go to verse 6. So he, speaking of Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him, speaking of Jesus, joyfully. So he came down with haste. He was anxious to meet him, and he received him joyfully. And he was anxious to do that. He was glad to be able to spend time with Jesus. Verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. Now, there's almost like a time period that's happened between verse 6 and 7. Because what's happened between those two verses is Jesus has gone to Zacchaeus' house. And so you can kind of see that in verse 7. But when they saw it, these other people saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now, Zacchaeus came down. Jesus ends up going to his house. That's when the judges decided to judge Jesus. Now, I don't do it. You know, that almost sounds like you do it with a false motive. I don't do that. And if I spend time with someone, I want to spend time with them. And I'm not thinking solely in my mind, I'm going to manipulate them towards salvation. That's not how I think. And so if I befriend someone that's never accepted Christ, I mean it. And I want to be their friend. I hope they accept Christ in their life, but I can't make that happen. Do you understand why I'm saying that? Be friends with people because it's the right thing to do. Don't do it with a false motive of some sort. But you have to spend time around people who have never accepted Christ as their Savior, or no one will ever get saved. I mean, if we all just hung out together every Sunday and never had anybody else around us, nobody gets saved is basically what would happen. But the Bible, I'm going to mention this right here and then we're going to go on. The Bible warns us, do not be, this is out of 2 Corinthians 6:14, unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we're to have plenty of believers that we hang out with. That's hence the importance, one of the important things about church. But you have to, it says unequally, doesn't mean don't spend time around them. So you need to always be looking for those opportunities. So ask yourself this morning, as we relate this story to us, ask yourself today, who am I hanging around that is not saved? Okay? Can you think of people? And if you'll watch, if you'll just open your spiritual eyes and watch, God will give you those opportunities of getting to know people. And if your answer is, well, I don't really have anybody right now, well, then you need to be praying. Because God wants you in that position. And so ask yourself the second question. Do I look for opportunities to reach the lost and spend time with them, or at least to be friends with them? So keep in mind, one more thing, Zacchaeus' house was probably a very nice house. I mean, the Bible tells us he was rich, and Jesus was used to going to poor houses or whichever house that the Father opened up for him. But this was one case where he got to go to one of the richer houses. Verse 7 shows the attitude of some of the people. Godly people would be thrilled, would they not? Look, Jesus is spending time with Zacchaeus. And see, that's how godly people would look at it. But the judges won't look at it like that. Can you believe they're spending time? He's spending time with these awful people in life. And so there's a modern songwriter, Lee Williams, I thought about you when I put this in my notes, and I thought he is going to shake his head come Sunday. But there's a modern writer of songs, not hymns, songs. And she's well known as Tay-Tay. Does anybody know who Tay-Tay is? Only one, two, three? Taylor, yes. And so she wrote this song, and this is part of the words. I'd love to break out in song with this, but I'm not that good of a singer. At least going, cut it. But anyway, haters are gonna hate. I'm just gonna shake it off. Woo-hoo. You're supposed to do the little hoo-hoo-hoo. And so when you go home today and somebody says, what did the preacher preach about? Tay-Tay and hoo-hoo. And it was really great. So my version of that, if we made it into a hymn, would be this. I told you we were going to have fun today, so we had to have a little fun. But judges are going to judge. I'm just going to shake it off. And wouldn't it make a great hymn? Come on. Wouldn't that make a great hymn? That would teach us all when we sang that one. Lee Williams is going, no, it won't. But anyway, I think it would, Lee. This is one area we can disagree with. But it would make a great song when we sang that goofy little song. It would remind us not to judge. And it would remind us how to handle the judgers. Shake it off. Shake it off. So there you go. All right. Back to our story. Lee Williams is going, okay, about time you get back there. I knew you'd love it when I sent you my notes this week. So Luke 19, verses 8 and 9, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us the details of Zacchaeus as far as how did it go from where it was with Jesus at the house to a point of salvation. And I would love to know just those little details. It's kind of how my mind works. And, you know, what brought it the rest of the way home. But I would say he was ready to get saved. I think we could at least say that. At this point. But it was so life-changing on what happened to Zacchaeus that Jesus immediately, today, salvation has come into this house. Barclay's commentary says this about Zacchaeus' decision. Zacchaeus took steps to show all the community that he was a changed man. When Jesus announced that he would stay that day at his house, and when he discovered that he had found a new and wonderful friend, immediately Zacchaeus took a decision. He decided to give half of his goods to the poor, the other half he would did not intend to keep to himself, but to use to make restitution for the things that he had done wrong as a tax collector. In his restitution, he went far beyond what was legally necessary. So if you look at Old Testament verses, Zacchaeus went way beyond paying back what he owed people through fraud or whatever. Only if robbery was a deliberate and violent act of destruction was a fourfold restitution necessary. And that's out of Exodus. If you look it up, that's the way they handled things back in those days. The point is, and I don't need to read all that, is that Zacchaeus went way beyond what he needed to go to pay people back that he had done wrong to. He showed by his deed that he was a changed man. Now, here's what I would say about that. That's how salvation should work. When people truly get saved, if they've done people wrong, they need to correct it. One of the neat things that Celebrate Recovery does, and they meet here on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. They have supper at 5 p.m. and then they have a meeting at from 5:30 to 6:30. And then they break off in small groups for another 30 minutes. And they're done around 7:30 in the evening. And they use our facility for that. But one of the things that they teach you is when you get saved, you need to make amends with the people that you have done wrong in your life. And that is biblical. You can't have someone getting saved and they have a terrible reputation and no one knows they ever got saved and they've never corrected anything. And then now all of a sudden they're talking about God. You know, you have to correct some stuff sometimes. And God will show you the timing and what to say. All that has to be done by God. But we see that in Zacchaeus' life. Let's go to verse 10. And so this is our wrap-up voice, our verse. Jesus ends this little story with words that should be the same words of how we think. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So for us, we should probably think in the same way because Jesus was our example. For I have come with God's help to seek and to save those who are lost. And Jesus didn't just hide in a church. He was out there mingling with the crowd and ministering and reaching people that he would have never met with otherwise. The story of Zacchaeus is the story of a sinner with lots of wealth, yet still he was not happy. Somewhere in his life, he heard about Jesus. And whether that was the tax collectors of Luke chapter 5, whether that, you know, their comments got back to him about Jesus, whatever it was, you know, he heard about him. So Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus, and the meeting went well. It wasn't real long after this event that Jesus went to the cross. And by the way, when Jesus passed through Jericho, there was also a blind man there that he healed. And so at least two major events occurred through that little trip through Jericho before Jesus eventually went to the cross. All right, we're going to have the twins and Jenny, their teacher, come forward because we're going to have fun here in a minute. I told you we were going to have fun today. So we're going to sing this little song so you guys can tell us about this little song, and we're going to sing it together about Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus. I said it wrong again. And so you tell us, you come on up and you guys tell us about it. And are we going to do it at least three times? You're going to sing the song once, then you'll teach us about all the motions we're all supposed to learn while we sing the song, and then we'll sing it again. Can you do that all three times? So we do it a cappella, right? Okay, so tell us about it. You're on. I'll remember you after.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize we were doing this a cappella, but that's okay. We can get it done, can't we, girls?
Yeah.
All right. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. As he passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from here. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.
Now, I forgot to tell you all, this is your last page. Cool. Oh, you're going to use them instead of Tay-Tay.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a happy little man.
Everybody stand on this final. You got to get the motions down. Can you? Do y'all see? Tell them how to do the motions of each part.
Okay, so when he's a wee little man, I'm using my finger because it's easier. I'm holding
okay.
The microphone, but you can do your hands like this and show how little he was.
Okay.
And then he's climbing up in the tree. And then Jesus is looking up and he's telling him to come down.
Come down.
And then he's going to your house today. So they're walking to the house. And there is another verse at the very end, but I didn't share it with Pastor Mike. And Zacchaeus is still wee, but he's happy.
Oh.
Because he's found the Lord.
Okay.
So. All right, are we ready?
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he.
He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was. was he. For he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he, and a happy man was he.
Thank you. Good job. Okay. And now we're going to turn you over to Lee.
Would you stand with me, please, while we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for a sense of humor that we can have fun in church. And we enjoyed the service today. We enjoyed the twins and Jenny singing the song and teaching us the song. Father, we thank you for your word that you chose your chosen people to write the words of the Bible that we can study today and learn more about you. Be with us as we go today. Guide and direct us in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.